Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And the situation in Turkey and Syria after last week's earthquake isn't much better and still commands our attention, though it's hard to hear. More than 35,000 people are known to have died under buildings that crumbled like sandcastles. Millions more are displaced, some lucky to have a tent in freezing cold. NPR's Jason Bobian is in Gaziantep in southeast Turkey. And Jason, we've been hearing your reporting, and I'm wondering if you're having trouble finding words to describe what you're seeing.
No, I mean, it is really hard to put into words this disaster, how heartbreaking it is, how extensive it is, the impact that it's having on individuals, on families, on Turkey as a nation, on Syria, and the conflict that has been continuing there. And now people who are caught in that are just having one more huge problem that they're facing. It really is difficult to sort of get across the scale of how big a disaster this is.
Yeah, and we still see the occasional person pulled alive from that rubble, but of course many more dying. And we're hearing of people in small villages that have to listen to the cries because they don't have the equipment that we're seeing, even in a limited way. But we understand that Islamic tradition specifies certain rituals be done for the many funerals. How's that happening?
It really is a hodgepodge of what's happening in terms of the funerals at the moment. You know, as you mentioned at the top, 35,000 people dead at least. It could be even more than that. So all of these funerals have to happen within a very limited amount of time. And normally the body needs to be washed in a ritualistic way. There needs to be prayers at the graveside. And some places that is happening, sort of the full Islamic ritual for burial. In other places, they basically have said, you know, you don't need to do all of that. You can do an abbreviated washing of the body, sort of a just wash some parts of the body, and maybe there's not water. So if that's the case, then you don't need to do that. And then in other places, they said if you're unable to do that, imams have said this to the people, if you are unable to do all of this, it is okay to simply take the bodies from the debris piles and bring them straight to the cemeteries and put them in the ground, and they will be declared clean. So that's actually a great relief to people in the midst of all of the chaos that's going on at the moment, and the dire need of actually getting bodies out of the rubble, getting them buried, because you are getting many of them decomposing inside the debris piles, and it's just an urgent matter that these burials occur.
We know there were arrests over the weekend of some Turkish building contractors because of all the buildings that did fall. Now, corrupt contractors may be at fault, but are people wondering, you know, where was government oversight? Or asking, is this President Erdogan in Turkey with an eye on future elections?
So, obviously, there's a lot of frustration. There's some finger-pointing going on. That there definitely have been buildings built here. I mean, it's no secret that the building construction in Turkey was not designed to withstand earthquakes, despite the fact that this is an earthquake zone, a known earthquake zone. There have been efforts to get those codes to improve construction practices. You know, some places got hit so hard that I don't think anyone expects that those buildings were going to survive. Mm-hmm. But there are other places where, you know, one building ends up standing and another one next to it completely crumbles. And a lot of people are starting to ask questions about what happened here, who built this building, was it the government's fault that it wasn't inspected, is it the contractor's fault? So some of that is starting to happen.
We just have a few seconds here with you, Jason, but I wonder, how can people help? What are you seeing as the best thing to do?
Well, you know, Robin, I have actually covered a lot of disasters over the last few decades, and I just have to say, you know, in these types of situations, donating cash to an agency that you know you trust is probably the best thing you can do. Yeah. Sending, you know, all of the old clothes from your closet doesn't really help. I think the cash is what's mostly needed now.
Right, and they know how to use it on the other end. NPR's Jason Beaubien, live from Turkey. Jason, thank you so much.
You're welcome.